Welcome to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks with expert advice from Jim Lang, Pittsburgh-based CPA, attorney, and retirement and estate planning expert. Jim is also the author of Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. To find out more about his book, his practice, Lang Financial Group, and how to secure Jim as a speaker for your next event, visit his website at paytaxeslater.com. Now, get ready to talk smart money.
Hello, we are talking smart money. This is Nicole DiMartino from the Lang Legal Group in Squirrel Hill. Thanks so much for joining us. Today, we're going to be mixing it up a bit, focusing most of our attention on Social Security. First, of course, let's start with a few introductions. We'll start with the president of the Lang Legal Group, Jim Lang. Jim has been practicing for nearly 30 years here in Pittsburgh, and he is a CPA, an attorney, and the author of the best-selling book, Retire Secure. Jim is a nationally regarded expert on the topic of IRAs and Roth IRA conversions, and is the founder of the Roth IRA Institute, which specifically educates financial advisors all over the country, and that certainly has been keeping him busy these first two quarters. Now, joining us tonight, we have the distinct pleasure of hosting our guest, Dr. Larry Kotlikoff, coming to us from Boston University, where he is a noted economics professor. Dr. Kotlikoff earned his doctorate from Harvard University. From there, his vitae is impressive, to say the least, and it goes on and on. As I said, he is currently at Boston University, but he's taught for many prestigious institutions such as Yale and MIT, and has been a consultant for many Fortune 100 companies and world banks. If that isn't enough, Dr. Kotlikoff is responsible for writing hundreds of articles published in the world's most notable economic journals, and also, he's written 14 books. His latest book is entitled Jimmy Stewart is Dead. This book is said to be brilliant, telling the truth about our current financial system. A truly stimulating read. You can check it out on his website, kotlikoff.net. And that is kotlikoff.net. And wow, that's a mouthful. Welcome, Dr. Kotlikoff. Thanks for joining us.
And I wanted to add a quick word. Back in May 2008, there was a conference sponsored by New York University in New York City that had some of the top academic and private sector experts. And the stated purpose of the conference was to determine an algorithm for what money to spend first in retirement. Larry was on that program. I was on the program. And the day before the official start of the conference, they had all the speakers crowded in this tiny little Chinese restaurant. I was squished next to Larry and a couple other people. And I was so impressed with what he was saying. He had so many original, unique thoughts. And one area that I thought was really outstanding, and his advice just went so far against the grain of what most people were doing, was in the area of when to take Social Security. He just has some great information. The other thing is he backs up everything he says with extensive quantitative peer-reviewed analysis. So I was really delighted when he agreed to be a guest on tonight's show. So welcome, Larry, and thank you for joining us for tonight's show.
It's a pleasure. It's great to be with both you and Nicole.
Well, you have some, I would say, controversial, to say the least, opinions on when to take Social Security. And I'm sure that there's a lot of listeners out there who are interested in taking Social Security as soon as they're eligible. Maybe it's 62 or perhaps 66 at the latest, but that doesn't seem to be consistent with some of the advice that you have been giving. So I thought I would just kind of throw an open question to you as to some of the things that our listeners should be thinking about on the issue of when to take Social Security.
Well, so I'm speaking as an economist, and economics has a pretty clear view of these issues, which can differ quite dramatically from what actuaries have to say. And the Social Security Administration is really run by actuaries. A lot of very fine people there, and the top actuary, Steve Goss, is a close friend of mine. Nothing about actuaries. You know, the definition of an economist is somebody who is good with numbers but doesn't have the personality to be an actuary. So... No offense to the actuaries, but the actuaries are kind of into their actuarial calculations, which are, let's think about somebody's life expectancy. If he's 60 and he's going to die on average at age 85, then we should give him he should take his Social Security benefits as early as possible because he might not live that long. Economics takes a different approach. We say, look, you have to plan to live to your maximum age of life, not your expected age of life. You're not an insurance company. You're an individual, and you could actually make it to your maximum age of life, which let's assume is 100. So you can't count on dying on time. You have to plan to live to your maximum age of life because you may actually do so. So consequently, in order to provide for living that long, you need to try and buy insurance against longevity. And the best way and the cheapest way to buy insurance is through the government. This longevity insurance, this annuity insurance, is most cheaply provided by the Social Security Administration by just simply delaying when you start collecting your benefits, because the longer you wait, the higher the benefit will be. So compared to taking your benefit at age 62, the benefit that you'll get at age 70 by waiting will be roughly 76% higher in real dollars, in today's dollars, just by waiting. Now, you have to give up 8 years, and of course you might die, but that's the downside. But the upside is you'll have a 76% higher benefit starting at age 70 that will continue the rest of your life. And knowing that you're going to have this much higher amount of money coming in will allow you actually to spend more of your regular assets now in the short run. So you can actually have a higher living standard, not just starting at 70, but starting really immediately, assuming you have enough resources to really cover that time gap, that you're not too borrowing constrained or cash constrained. So when you run this analysis in terms of trying to figure out how you can maximize somebody's living standard, and I have a company on the side called Economic Security Planning, which produces software which calculates people's living standards, we find that when we run our software, ES Planner, that there's a tremendous increase in your living standard, not just beyond age 70, but right away, assuming you have the cash to other resources, whether it's retirement account assets or regular assets, to cover that eight-year gap. Let me just say one other thing, Jim, which is that there's another good reason for waiting, which is that there's a free spousal benefit to be had for people that are married starting after both spouses have reached full retirement age. One of the spouses can collect spousal benefits for free, in the sense that they can defer collecting their own retirement benefit, and they can defer that till age 70. But one of the spouses can collect spousal benefits off the other spouse's record for free, starting at his or her full retirement age. They can't both do it unless they're divorced, but if they're married, one of them can do it, and they can get, it could be $10,000, $15,000 a year with no, for free, in effect, because it doesn't reduce how much of their own retirement benefits they're going to be getting starting at age 70.
I do want to go back to that point, but let me tell you one of the reasons why I find this analysis so attractive. So from you're talking about the difference between perhaps an economist and an actuary. Now let's throw in a Roth IRA guy, which I would call myself, who is very interested in developing a tax-free source of income for our listeners. And so I am motivated to figure out what is the best way to get tax-free income. And interestingly enough, Roth IRA conversions, and the best time to do a Roth IRA conversion is when you're in a low tax bracket. So when are you in the lowest tax bracket? You're in the lowest tax bracket after you retire, before 70 and a half, so you don't have your minimum required distributions. And assuming that you have after-tax dollars or money outside IRAs to live on, you can live on that money. And now what you're saying, Larry, is defer your Social Security, which also is keeping your income down. It's also not causing taxation on the Social Security income when you make a Roth IRA conversion. And so that fits in perfectly with, let's say, some of the planning that I'm doing.
Right. We agree. And software we have can show you exactly how big an impact on your living standard that will imply, and you're absolutely right that the time to convert is after you've retired in your lower tax bracket and before you've taken your retirement, your 401k money, or you take some of it out and convert it into IRAs and then convert from the IRA into the Roth. And the idea is the basic idea is to try and spend the 401k money, either convert it or spend it before you start taking your Social Security benefits, so as to not trigger a higher taxation of your Social Security benefits under the income tax. And you just said this a moment ago, that when you're withdrawing money after you're taking Social Security benefits from a Roth, that's not counted as part of adjusted gross income for purposes of figuring out the taxes on your Social Security benefits. Whereas a withdrawal from a 401k account, that is counted as part of your adjusted gross income. So by taking out the Roth money at the time you're taking your Social Security benefits rather than the 401k money, this is a way of getting maybe not to zero taxes, but to lower taxes. You're into what I'm into, which is to try and take Uncle Sam's best deal.
Well, that's right. And I just find that there is a huge difference between having an optimal strategy, and I'm just even talking about the Roth IRA conversion and when to convert and how much to convert, and as you certainly are aware that now that people with incomes of higher than $100,000, so you have a whole new field of people who are eligible for Roth IRA conversions, and now we have two tax increases. One is the expiration of the Bush tax cuts, and the other one is the new surtax on investment income. So we're going to have some significant tax increases in the Roth IRA conversions and taking Social Security later. We're good then. After these tax increases, they're really going to be terrific.
Yes, but it's tricky. It's not you got to time this exactly right to really get the maximum benefit, because you want to make sure your bracket's not too high. If you take out too much in a given year to convert, you're going to be suddenly be pushed into a higher tax bracket. Now, from what I understand, and Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, this ability to convert without limit continues into the future. So it's not just a 2010 opportunity. It's an ongoing opportunity. So one wants to look carefully at when exactly is the best time to convert, and certainly before one starts taking its Social Security benefits, I think is the time, so that again, more of the money you're using to spend in retirement is coming out of coming from the Roth as opposed to a 401k that's going to trigger a higher Social Security benefit taxation.
Dr. Kotlikoff, I need to step in for 1 second. Jim can give you your rebuttal. We need to take a short break. We'll be right back talking more smart money with Jim Lang and Dr. Larry Kotlikoff.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
This is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. I'm Nicole DiMartino, here with Jim Lang, CPA, attorney, and best-selling author of Retire Secure, and also our distinguished guest, Dr. Larry Kotlikoff, economist at Boston University and the author of his most recent book, Jimmy Stewart is Dead. Welcome back.
Thanks so much.
Larry, you said that in general you like the idea of people waiting until age 70 to take Social Security, and you put it in the framework of you could live a long time and you want to maximize what you're going to get over your lifetime, and don't think of it like an actuary where you're actually comparing present values. Let's say for discussion's sake that maybe you are not in the best of health, and it is highly unlikely that you will live till age 100 or even to your life expectancy. Do you have some guidelines for people who are not likely to live to full life expectancy or well beyond that? I guess what I'm looking for are times when it doesn't make sense to wait till age 70.
Unless you know for sure, your maximum age of life is really your maximum age of life. So unless you know for absolute sure that you will not make it to 100, you should plan to live to 100 because you might. But what economics also says is that those who have higher probabilities of dying early should take a little gamble. If they're not really, really risk-averse, they should take a gamble and spend more of their resources at younger ages and plan on a lower living standard if they actually make it, let's say, after age 85. They could gradually reduce their living standard, maybe 2% a year between 85 and 100. So unless you have a terminal disease, you know, people, my mom's 90 and she's getting younger every day. There's lots of people out there that are going to make it to 100. When the baby boomers are fully retired, we're going to have enough centenarians to fill up all of Washington, D.C. The demographics are really quite interesting and shocking. We're going to have enough people over 90 to fill up, people over 85 to fill up, I think, New York and Los Angeles and Chicago. So you can imagine what it'd be like driving in those cities with those people.
My mother is old enough that she won't let me mention her age publicly. But let me ask you this. One of the objections that I can picture a lot of people having, because I've certainly had this discussion, and in general I have been a fan of holding off on Social Security, perhaps for different reasons than you, but I've come to the same conclusion. I get the answer, well, gee, you know, right now Social Security is paying money. If I don't take it, how do I know that they're not going to change their mind, stop paying it, and then I will have missed taking it all those years? What would your answer to that common objection be?
I think
the
government would default on its national debt before it defaulted on Social Security benefits to people over 62. And I think anybody, if the government were to ex post give somebody who is beyond age 62 less than they had been promised, that would be in effect equivalent to cutting somebody's current benefit, which is, you'd have to have the government in extreme distress. Now, that could happen because this government is running a fiscal policy which looks to me to be a lot worse than Greece's fiscal policy. So we could get into that situation, but I think that would be the last thing to be cut. Are the Social Security benefits to people that are already receiving them or, in effect, are postponing the receipt.
All right. Now the other thing that you mentioned, actually in some of your literature, and a thought that I know that you have, is a special area that is almost counterintuitive, and I would imagine people might hate hearing it, but I actually think that it makes a lot of sense. So let's say, for discussion's sake, that you are already taking Social Security. Maybe you're in your mid to late 60s. You've been taking Social Security for a while. Let's say you don't really even need the money, but you've just been taking it just because you think, well, it makes sense to take it. You're actually sometimes proposing that we give it back. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because, man, that, you know, it's bad enough that you're telling us don't take Social Security. Now you're telling us the money that you've taken, give it back.
Well, give it back and reapply for even higher benefits. And that's, in effect, what you give back is a way of buying a higher annuity. The amount you pay back, what you have to do is using the Form 521, which is on the Social Security website. And we discussed this at esplanner.com under case studies. We have a case study called "When Should I Take Social Security?" At esplanner.com. And the idea here is you have an option. Now, Social Security may change this option in a couple years, so if people are interested in doing it, they should do it right away. But right now, you have the option of taking all the benefits that you received in nominal dollars and just paying them back. And the payback is tax deductible. Or you can alternatively take a tax credit for the past taxes you paid on your Social Security benefits. So there's a tax break. In addition, you don't have to pay any interest on the money that you received in the past when you pay it back. And so you just pay back in the dollars that you actually received. If you received $50,000, you pay back $50,000. And it's tax deductible. And then you immediately reapply you could either, let's say you're 70, then you could reapply immediately for a higher benefit. if you're 68, you could wait until you're 70, and at that point, reapply, apply for the age 70 benefit. So it's like resetting the clock. You're starting from scratch. You have that option. And we found using our software that this can be a significant enhancement to people's living standard, because annuities in general are a great way to safely raise your living standard, especially if we're talking about getting that annuity from Social Security, because Social Security is going to be the last thing to go in this country in terms of going broke. AIG may go broke. You know, other life insurance companies may go broke, but, well, AIG is, you know, who knows? AIG is basically owned by the government at this point. But insurance companies in general can go broke, but it's not likely that Social Security is going to renege on paying these benefits.
So actually, in a way, if you've done that, you would have had an interest-free loan from the government. You give the money back, and actuarially, or I'm sorry, you don't like actuarially. Economically, you would be far better off, particularly if you live a long time, by giving the money back and getting a better, a higher benefit for the rest of your life.
This is like found money, because we've done calculations, again, with the software, where we take a 70-year-old who started collecting benefits at 62. By doing this repaying and paying back and reapplying for higher benefits, they can have a higher, something like a 10-15% higher living standard the rest of their life. Every year for the next 30 years, right out through age 100, their living standard can be materially higher. Now, it depends on the circumstances. If they've got $10 million, then percentage-wise, this is not going to be a 10% increase in their living standard. But if they're middle class or lower income, this can be a major deal. So, and it's perfectly safe. So I like to focus on things, as I think you do, Jim and Nicole, on things that are ways to raise somebody's living standard that entail no risk, that don't involve putting your money in the stock market and either, you know, maybe taking a gamble on that and how well that does. We're talking about things that are absolutely riskless, or as riskless as they can get in this society.
And the reason is because right now the government has that program. Now, at any point they could cut that, but what you're saying is if you go ahead and do that, then you will be guaranteed the higher benefit now.
Yeah, I know people have been about this for a year and a half now, and I have a number of people have called me to tell me about that they've done this and to thank me for writing about it. Other people, and Janet Novak at Forbes.com has written about this, and people at Prudential Insurance Company have written about this option. But we were able to quantify it. We were able to find out that it's actually a major economic advantage, because when you get a 76% higher benefit starting immediately at age 70, if you are age 70 when you do this conversion, it's true you have to hand back a bundle of money, but if you're going to get a higher, you're just paying back the nominal dollars, and there's no adjustment for inflation, there's no interest charged, there's no adjustment for the actual factor involved in the fact that you're getting an annuity to begin with. You just pay back those dollars, and bingo, you're starting with a 76% higher benefit for, you know, it's whether it's 70 or 76%, it's going to be some big number depending on your particular age and circumstance. And that's going to take you right through age 100 for sure. So it's a great way to improve your living standard and be able to sleep at night.
Well, I agree with that, and I have actually seen that those ideas and have run some other numbers, not using your software, although frankly I can't wait to use your software. By the way, speaking of your software, could you tell us a little bit, because I believe that I know you have a professional model that's going to cost people some money, but I also understand that you just won an award recently that has this software that our listeners might be interested in, and as I understand it, it's free.
Yeah, we have a version up that we provide as a public service. It's called ES Planner Basic. It's at esplanner.com/basic. It's a free, simplified version of our download program, which we sell to the public for with Monte Carlo simulations for $199. Without it, it's $149. And we also market it to financial planners for $750 a year. And so this free version, ES Planner Basic, costs nothing. You go there right now, esplanner.com/basic, and play with that program. It can do a lot of what the download versions can do. So if you can't afford the download versions, by all means, just use the basic version. And that was just named by Money Magazine in this month's edition. We're the number one money web program, according to Money Magazine, and also CNNMoney.com, we're ranked number one. So, there's a good reason, because we're the only software program that does a very, very careful job on taxes, on Social Security benefits, on state income taxes, and it also goes about this in a way that really makes economic sense. We're trying to figure out for people how much they can spend each year and how much they should save each year in order to have a stable living standard per person. So pension planning is focused on hitting some target. They say, well, you should target to spend 85% or 75% of your pre-retirement earnings. And that target may be far too high or far too low, depending on the particular household. But it's some rule of thumb that the industry has come up with.
Which I disagree with completely, by the way.
Yeah. I refer to it as a rule of thumb because it's the target for each household needs to be really tailor-made. It's individual-specific. And our software is internally finding out the target, how much you should spend every year. It doesn't ask you, my target personally, Jim and Nicole, if you asked me how much would I like to spend in retirement, I'd like to spend $1 billion a minute. That's what I'd like to spend.
I'm glad you don't have high aspirations.
Yeah, and maybe it's, maybe when I think about it, it could be $10 billion a minute. So you immediately see that this is kind of a ridiculous question. What we're really trying to do is set a spending target for post-retirement that gives us a similar living standard to what we're experiencing before retirement, because we're not interested in splurging today and starving tomorrow. We're not interested in the opposite. We don't want to just party, starve today and splurge and party at 85. We want to have a smooth ride. That's what economics, diminishing returns, is telling us. We don't want to eat all our cookies at one sitting. So that's a very, very complicated question to answer, and you have to use advanced mathematics and the right technique to get that to be answered in 2 seconds, which is what our software can do. So we got a patent for the technology. It's a dynamic programming technology. And we were able to solve this particular problem in 2 seconds with the way we came up with the methodology.
You know what, Larry? We're going to take a quick break. We will come back. We'll talk a little bit more about your software. When we come back, you're listening to the Lang Money Hour with Jim Lang and Dr. Larry Kotlikoff. We'll be right back.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
We're back at the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, and we're discussing Dr. Kotlikoff's award-winning software, which you can download for free. It's the website's www.esplanner.com/basic. We're here with Jim Lang, Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney, and Dr. Larry Kotlikoff of Boston University.
Larry, one of the things that you had mentioned earlier regarding taking Social Security is we talked about waiting until age 70. For people who haven't waited, the possibility of actually giving the money back, which I know our listeners love to hear that, give the money back. So if they listen to you and me, Larry, they're going to give money back for Social Security, and then they're going to pay taxes up front on a Roth IRA conversion. But actually, I think both of those strategies are sound. But can you tell us a little bit about the spousal benefits, and if you're not a single taxpayer, but rather you're a married taxpayer with a husband and wife, and you both have some Social Security earnings, how would that play in? Do you both wait till 70, or should one person take it early? I know other writers have had some opinions on this, and I was probably most interested in yours, because I suspect that you've done as good as, or better than anybody in terms of quantifying these benefits.
Well, yeah, this is another argument for waiting to collect your own retirement benefit till 70. But then if you are married, when both of you have reached full retirement age, one of you should go into the Social Security Administration and apply for retirement benefits and suspend their collection until age 70. And that's called apply and suspend. Now,
what's the advantage of that over just doing nothing?
Well, because then the other spouse, let's say the husband does this, the husband goes in at, let's say his full retirement age is 66. He goes in at 66 and he applies for regular for retirement benefits, but then he suspends their collection and he tells the Social Security guys, I'm going to come back at 70 and start collecting them. And when he does that, then the delayed retirement credit continues to operate, so he'll be getting this much higher benefit at age 70 because he's suspended their collection.
This sounds like a loophole to me.
Well, it's in the law. It was introduced in the 2002 legislation, so it's not really so much. It was really an intentional piece of legislation put in not too long ago. Now, the other spouse, the wife, can then go and apply for spousal benefits. And this will not trigger automatically her collection of her own retirement benefit. So she can also defer her retirement benefit until age 70. And every year you wait, your benefit's going up about 8% per year. It's not compounded. It's like, you know, if it's 4 years, it's 8 times 4 is 32% higher benefit. But that's a lot. So she can get spousal benefits for, let's say, 4 years, and then they both start getting their full retirement benefits augmented, the maximum retirement benefits they could possibly get starting at age 70, and she, in effect, gets these spousal benefits for free.
And when you say spousal benefits, are you saying that the person with, let's say, a lower benefit should actually start collecting earlier and the person that would have the higher benefit wait?
Well, if they're the same age, then the spouse who has the lower earnings record, only one of the two spouses can get this free spousal benefit. And the spousal benefit is equal to half of the other spouse's what's called primary insurance amount, which is basically the benefit they would receive at full retirement were they to take their benefit full retirement. So if the lower earning spouse in general should be the one that applies for spousal benefits because the spousal benefit will be higher, but if the lower earning spouse is older than the higher earning spouse, then it might behoove the higher-earning spouse to actually come and take spousal benefits. Let's say that the wife is lower-earning and she's 3 years older than the husband. And so when he hits age 66, she's now 69. So he should then probably apply for to get spousal benefits off of her record. She should apply and suspend until age and collect at age 70. But she'll apply and suspend at age, what did I say, 69. And then he'll be getting free spousal benefits off of her record for 4 years. So it depends on their ages. And the software that we've, the next release of our software, the update that we're putting out in a month or so, is going to allow maximum flexibility to figure out what's the best ages to you. Who should go first? Who should get this? Who should do the applying and suspending? Now, let me quickly point out that this waiting to full retirement age is critical because if you try and collect spousal benefits at age 60, let's say age 63, and your spouse is already collecting retirement benefits for whatever reason, you'll be forced to take the spousal benefits right away, and they'll be both reduced for... You'll get the early retirement reduction factors kicking in. So the whole idea here, the whole game, is to not get zapped by this early retirement reduction factors, which apply for your own retirement benefit and also your spousal benefit. And the key thing is that if you apply for either of these two benefits before your full retirement age, if you apply for your retirement benefit, you're deemed to also be applying for your spousal benefit. And if you apply for your spousal benefit, you're deemed to be applying for your retirement benefit. And even if you can't collect your spousal benefit because your spouse is not yet actually retired, is not collecting his or her retirement benefit, hasn't either started collecting it or hasn't filed and suspended, you'll still have, when you finally do start collecting your spousal benefit, if you've taken your retirement benefit before full retirement age, when you start collecting your spousal benefit, you'll have it permanently reduced. So you got to be very careful and in this stuff. And this case study, When Should I Take Social Security, helps you understand these provisions, which are very complicated. But the basic idea, the basic rule of thumb, which I think is not a rule of thumb in this context, is if you can wait, if you're not cash constrained, if you have other resources to live off of, then you should wait to full retirement, have one of you go in and apply and suspend, have the other go in and collect free spousal benefits, and then both of you get your retirement benefits starting at 70, and that's the way to maximize your deal from Social Security.
Yeah, you know, this is such terrific information. I know some of it might be a little bit hard for people to catch, but the key, I think, is doing it right and having a running the numbers type analysis. And then what I would add to that is if you do that in conjunction with a well thought out Roth IRA conversion strategy where you have run the numbers, that you're really talking about a significant difference in the quality of your life for the rest of your life, and as a bonus, leaving more money behind for children or other heirs.
Yeah, absolutely. You can really take Uncle Sam's best deal, and that can make a huge difference to your well-being.
Now, another area where you kind of go the other way on this is when you apply for Medicare benefits. So I thought, you know, here you're going to give some different information, and I thought that perhaps this is going to be a little bit easier and more friendly for people. So maybe perhaps you can give us your opinions on when to apply for Medicare.
Well, as I understand it, when you hit age 65, if you don't start taking your Medicare benefits immediately, the premiums, which can be quite substantial, when you finally do start applying, you may have to pay a much higher premium for your Medicare benefits. That's if you are not employed by an employer with 100 or more employees. So if you're working for a small firm, last time I checked, you're going to be subject to this kind of Medicare tax, which is when I take my Medicare benefits, if I delay beyond 65, I'm going to be subject to a higher premium for the rest of my life, and that can be pretty nasty. So my advice is that if anybody's working for a small employer, when they hit age 65, they should go in and take Medicare.
All right, and that's part B and D?
What?
And that's parts B and D?
I think this is basically part B, and D you might be able to hold off on, and A, I think you may be able to hold off on A as well. I forget exactly the rules on A versus B, but this is basic. The premiums are really related to part B. So you may have, you may be working for a small employer who's providing you a health insurance plan at the job, but it may still behoove you to go in and apply for Medicare so that, 3 years later, when you'd otherwise have to pay much higher premiums if you waited for 3 years, let's say, and started taking your benefits your Medicare benefits at that point. You want to make sure that these Medicare premiums are not going to be astronomically high. They're going to be astronomically high anyway because of the fact that Medicare benefit levels are growing and the premiums are related to that growth. And then there's also the fact that the Medicare premium is its own tax schedule. You know, there's this complicated tax system, in effect, a premium calculation that's based on your adjusted gross income as well, that goes back and looks back at your AGI for the prior 2 years. So we have all this programmed in our software, and you can see when you run our program that, the Medicare premiums out into the future, they might start around $5,000 or $6,000 a year and end up around $15,000 or $20,000 when people are 90 because of the projected growth in the benefit level.
Larry, I have to interrupt you right now. We need to take one more short break. This is the last one, I promise. We'll be back in 1 minute with Jim and Larry, and this is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Okay, we're back with the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, and we're here with Jim Lang, CPA attorney, and our guest, Dr. Larry Kotlikoff.
Larry, one of the major themes that you profess is the idea of a higher standard of living through making smart economic decisions. And one of the things that I know that you write about is immediate annuities, which is more or less similar to the old traditional pension plans that we're seeing less and less of these days. Could you tell us a little bit about immediate annuities and the benefits that it might have in terms of increasing the living standard for our listeners?
Well, an annuity is really an insurance policy. It's an insurance against living longer than you expect to live. We can't count on dying on time. So we might make it to 90, 95, 100. I think something like 40% of married couples who are 65 will have at least one member who will make it to 90. So there's really a pretty high probability now of somebody in a couple getting into very old ages. So an immediate annuity is going to give you a higher return than investing in a bond, because if you die, that's it. The money that you put down to buy the annuity is gone. It goes to the people that the other annuitants who haven't died. They're going to be getting, in effect, a higher income stream because your money is going to help pay their annuity. So a lot of people are hesitant to buy immediate annuities because they think, gee, if I die, I'm going to lose the money. But the real risk here is living. It's not really dying. If you're dead, you're dead, and there's not going to be a lot of regret in heaven because you're going to have the angels to take care of you and other things like that, and life will be beautiful. You'll be in heaven and can't be, you're not going to need money in heaven. But when you're here on earth, you're going to need money all the way to the very end, and that's where an annuity can come in to help. And what I believe, though, is that you want to try and get the best deal and one that's protected against inflation. And the best deal we've been discussing is from Social Security itself. If you can, in effect, buy a higher annuity by waiting to collect a higher benefit, that's, in effect, a way to purchase a higher annuity just from Social Security. If you're already collecting Social Security benefits and you took them early, you can repay your old benefits and get a higher level of benefit, and that's another way of buying an annuity from Social Security. But if you've already kind of maxed out on those options, then buying an immediate annuity from an insurance company, through a financial planner with an insurance that they might recommend a particular annuity product, is a way of securing this ongoing income stream no matter how long you live. But I'm very concerned looking outward about inflation, about the government printing lots and lots of money to pay its bills, because Uncle Sam really is fundamentally broke. So I would be very eager to see anybody who buys an annuity to buy an annuity that's fully inflation protected. If inflation goes up by 10%, if the price level goes up by 10%, the annuity would go up by 10%. So we're not talking here about an annuity that's graded, which just goes up like 3% a year no matter what happens, but rather one that's whose level is very much completely tied to the level of inflation.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have run analysis on immediate annuities, and I did it a little bit more like the actuary, the guy that works at Social Security. And for example, I came up with, in given a whole bunch of assumptions that I don't want to go through here, that 86 was, quote, the break-even age. In other words, rather than investing it, for example, at 6%, that you would actually do better if you live till age 86 or beyond. But if we're going to look at it like an economist and we're going to try to protect ourselves and in effect by longevity insurance, then the immediate annuities are even more attractive.
Right. Economists would say you have to do an apples-to-apples comparison. If you have $100,000 and one option is to buy an immediate annuity and the other is to take the $100,000 and invest it in the stock market, well, that's an apples-to-oranges comparison because investing in the stock market is risky. If you have an annuity that's adjusted for inflation, then you have to compare that with what you can get by investing in safe assets that are adjusted for inflation. And those would be Treasury inflation-protected securities that are called TIPS. They're yielding about 2% after inflation these days. And annuities could easily yield 4 or 5% depending on your age.
And sometimes even more than that.
And sometimes there's
some interesting decisions. If you're married, you do a one life or more typically two life annuity. And by the way, we run into a similar conceptual issue. For example, when somebody is retiring, for example, a retiring teacher might choose a one life or a two life pension, but it's a little bit similar. And usually the idea is to protect both the husband and wife. So more often than not, for married couples with a relatively low risk tolerance, I'm usually going to recommend a two-life annuity, even if the income stream is a little bit lower.
Yeah, I agree with that. You need to have the survivors fully protected. Now, a lot of people don't buy annuities because they say, well, gee, I want to give the money to my kids. If I die, the money I just spent on the annuity is out the door, and my kids won't get it. Well, I think the way we economists would think about it would be this. If you want to give money to your kids, give it to them right now. Just give it to them. Do for them what you want to do, and then buy this insurance protection against your living to a very old age. Because if you don't have that protection, what you're doing is not just putting yourself at risk, but you're also putting your kids at risk. Because if you live to 90, 95, and you need a lot of extra income because of health expenses, or even just because you've run out of your own cash, your kids are going to be the ones that are going to have to bail you out. So it's not actually helping your kids to engage in this gamble with them, because it's much better to make things safe. Give the money that you want to give to your kids right now. Take the rest of your money and build yourself an income floor, a living standard floor, and annuities are a very good way to do that.
Well, the thing that I like, you know, what you're talking about is a combination of maximizing Social Security and, in the absence of a traditional pension, some type of income from an immediate annuity. And I like the concept of a floor, where you are creating, in effect, a situation where there will always be sufficient money for a roof over your head, gas in the car, food on the table, and perhaps some other investments and other strategies for things over and above that. But I really like the idea of a certain guaranteed income level, and some of your ideas about Social Security and giving money back and waiting and protecting yourself with, in effect, old age insurance with immediate annuities, I think is really profound.
Well, it's thanks for calling profound. I don't know. It's just straightforward economics. If you can bear to deal with these, think about economics and then deal with the government's complexity, and I've had to do that through the course of my career, then you see some ways to really move ahead.
But see, one of the things that I love about your analysis, and in certain ways it's similar to mine, is that it's not just some random ideas that you came up with and you said, okay, you should do this, is that you actually back it up with very, very detailed analysis, and in your case, the program, in our case, we call it running the numbers, that combines a number of different areas, so that you actually can come up with a quantitatively superior course of action, whether it be a Roth IRA conversion or a series of Roth IRA conversions. I'm holding off on taking Social Security, applying for Social Security, spousal benefits, but still holding off, or even giving money back. I think that the idea of quantifying some of these strategies is just terrific.
Well, thanks so much.
Well, thank you, and I think we're wrapping up. These hours go by so quickly. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, anytime.
You know what, we didn't talk much about your latest book, but again, I want to tell people where to get it. Jimmy Stewart Is Dead. You can get that on kotlikoff.net and the software also.
Well, esplanner.com would be for the software.
Right.
And kotlikoff.net will show you the endorsements by five Nobel laureates and George Shultz and Bill Bradley, lots of very impressive people. Forward by Jeff Sachs. And then at Amazon.com or Borders or Barnes & Nobles or your local bookstore, go to your local bookstore because they could use the business. I like to support them.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again. We'll be back in 2 weeks. This is Nicole and Jim saying thank you for listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
Thanks for listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Portions of the audio that you just heard will be posted online at retiresecure.com. You can also find a list of upcoming events and topics at retiresecure.com. To seek Jim's advice personally or to speak to a member of his dedicated staff at Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, call 412-521-2732. Join us again in 2 weeks when we talk more smart money.